I have something to ask this next fellow here. I'm going to see if I can operate the equipment here. Let's see here. Is this Mr. Walsh?
Eric Lee, how are you doing?
Oh, man, how are you? It's so good to hear your voice.
Tim, it's been a long time.
It has been. Tim's a really old friend of mine. You know, Tim, one of the unexpected delights of this weird and awful time is, you know, reconnecting with people and some of the people we've got on the show here. And are going to do that, fall into that category. So listen, I got an hour here. Let me read your bio. Tim way back when invented a game called Blurt, which I still have a copy of in my basement, B-L-U-R-T, very fun, and a game called Tribon, which was actually co-opted by the Jeopardy folks. That's another show, but that was his idea. Both I think in print and get them at your local store. That was a long time ago, and Tim has been on the air. We were on one night on WGN. Remember this? We were talking about the a woman who had a charm bracelet that generated the original tokens in Monopoly. Remember that?
Yes. Yes, I spoke to her off the air after we hung up, but she claimed that was crazy. I wrote a book too, and I remember seeing a hole in a top hat pawn in Monopoly. I was like, why in the world is there a hole in that? And then that led to maybe these were charm bracelets, and then she, it was a convergence of information. It was pretty cool.
It was breaking game news.
Yes, breaking.
Yeah. So when we last spoke, you were in Wisconsin, and you're in Florida now, I think, yeah?
Yes, I worked for Patch Products. They're now called Play Monster. I've been employed for 9 years, and around 2001, I left to come down here, and I continue to try to create fun, and, we like it down here.
There are young people in your world, are there not? I mean, not just intellectually or emotionally, but chronologically.
Well, actually, they're 21 and 20, almost 24 now, so yeah.
Tell me about that. Listen, one of the things that is fun to talk to somebody like you is you get to go to toy fairs. What's a toy fair?
A toy fair? Well, New York Toy Fair is the largest toy and game fair in the Western Hemisphere. It's pretty huge. The other one is Nuremberg, Germany. I go to that every year as well. And basically, it's a place for toy companies to launch their new products and buyers from different retail outlets walk the show looking for the next big thing. And, of course, you're dealing with the sick list of all consumers, children. So who knows what's going to be the next big thing. That's part of the fun. If I knew how to create a hit game, I'd do it all the time. And it's really hard to figure out what kids want. So part of the fun of the toy world is just chasing the next big idea because there's one around the corner.
You're on the lookout for the next Tickle Me Elmo. We were a little late out of the gig. Do you remember the one that I did, Hit Me With a Pipe Wrench Elmo? It was a little kids liked it, but the bigger ones. Unfortunately, you're not doing the toy fair this summer. When was the last time you were on an airplane and went to one of these? How recently was it?
Yeah, so toy fair in New York is usually February, and Nuremberg is right before it, so I did go to those. And I was scheduled to go to a specialty toy show in Orlando in June called Astra, and that was canceled, of course. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been a while since I've traveled. But, of course, games and toys are very big, as a lot of kids need to be entertained, and parents do.
So, how long? Before we leave limitation only. I can't crash. Could I hear?
You could use a media member. Media members are quite well received.
Is that right?
And you have a strong disposition.
Only,
you're sitting like a girl out of everybody.
You're only going to receive well at Toy Fairs, believe me. It's quarter past the hour. This is Tim Walsh. Tim is Dave Inventor and a toy guy. Hey, let's jump around. You remember the movie Big? I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah.
We just lost, we lost the director last year, Chris, and I was just thinking when you said that, you know, the whole premise of that movie was that you really have to be a kid to understand toys. So what is the point of a toy fair when you go in and children to see whether or not it's fun. Hence your colleague sneaking her daughter in, right? His daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, of course, people like me who invent toys, we do a lot of playtesting with kids and then bring our ideas to Toy Fair. So there's some that happens beforehand. Well, you're touching on something that's been an issue in toys for a long time. I have a colleague who's a female designer, very prolific, named Peggy Berlin.
It's weird, too. I have two daughters, and as well as a son. And, you know, I talk about Barbies and Ken and all that stuff and all this. I don't want to get heavy in the morning here, but what they call the gender identification toys. The whole idea that you've got this going for that person. What about that? I mean, are more women, we would hope, or more women, we would hope, are taking equal footing everywhere. Are there more women toy designers? Presumably there are, right? That's one you mentioned.
Yeah, I think it's growing. It's changing. You know, it's there's quite a few in the history of toys that have invented incredibly popular games, like Candyland. I'm actually in the middle of making a video about Candyland. That was a school teacher named Eleanor Abbott.
Is that right? Well, all right, stop. All right, Eleanor Abbott. I'm going to write this down. I did not know that.
Yes, a school teacher named Eleanor Abbott invented Candyland in 1949. The biggest game in the world is invented by a woman. Monopoly is credited as being invented by Charles Darrow, but he actually based a large part of that game on an earlier game called the Landlord's Game, which was invented by a woman named Lizzie Maggie, or McGee, depending on who you talk to.
I always thought Candyland would be an alternative to really anything you'd have on network sports. That would just be fun to have people jumping in the, getting stuck in the swamp. You know,
right, the molasses swamp.
Seriously, if you talk about fun, kids they need stuff. You know, they need this interactive stuff. Our friend Microphone Jones and I were talking this week on how his kids, he's locked down in Lake Town. Depending on how many kids he's looking after, a bunch of them, and they're all pretty young. And he got them playing bingo, you know, and doing that. So that, I mean, you're known as a person who gets kids to interact a little more. So Candyland, Monopoly, what other women's issue games can you spit out there?
Sure, Jenga was invented by a British woman named Leslie Scott, who's a friend of mine.
Jenga.
Hugely, I mean, all over the world. She grew up in South Africa and actually
TV. I remember these TV commercials. I pulled out an old TV spot reel and a bunch of the old commercials came back. But they used to advertise. I remember Jenga on TV. What is her name again, Tim?
Spit it out. Leslie Scott.
Leslie Scott from South Africa.
Yes.
You know, it's
geez, the list goes on and on. There's Play-Doh.
Up shot of the Play-Doh can, and it says clean and non-toxic. Now, if that isn't an invitation to put it in your mouth, then come on.
Oh, and it also smelled with hints of vanilla.
Is that right? Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing here. Yeah, no, we want to.
It's kind of like my cooking dairy leaf. It might smell good, but you don't want to ingest it.
So, all right, we have Play-Doh. Yeah, I think I knew that a woman was involved with that. And then famously, Barbie. Was invented by a woman, right?
Correct, yeah. Ruth Handler wanted little girls to aspire at the time. It seems odd today, but in 1958, before Barbie, little girls typically played with baby dolls because they aspired to be a mother. And Ruth Handler thought, well, if I made an adult doll, they could aspire to be anything. And Barbie has had thousands of careers throughout her tenure to let little girls aspire to.
Just more than one Barbie. Shorty, I think, has a Barbie with a, we call it a mortarboard, college graduate party. Barbie. So, anyway.
She's also ran for president and been an astronaut.
I voted.
Yeah.
I voted for her. Ken, I don't know about. Yeah, quick. It's 22 after the hour here. What's the story on her measurements, Barbie? There's a story there. Do you mind?
Yeah, I don't recall if she were to be, supersized to a, say, a 5'8" woman. Her measurements would be a ridiculous something like 60, 22, 36 or some craziness.
Is that right?
But there's a story behind that, which is Ruth Handler found a doll called the Build Lily doll in Germany before Barbie came out and based her design on that doll, and that doll was not meant for kids. It was a bachelor party gag gift.
Yeah.
And I tell the story in my book, Timeless Toys, and basically she found it and said to her engineer, I want you to build something like this, and if you look at the picture of a Build Lily doll and the first Barbie doll from 1959, they're very, very similar. So that is sort of a hint as to why she is voluptuous as she is.
Hang on a second. Well, we're a haunted studio today, Tim. We had the mayor popping in to tell us about social distancing in the middle of your comment. I whenever I get on the air with you, my mind races even more than it normally does. The idea of play and distraction. We had a psychotherapist on the air this week that talked about really the need to get some of this awful stuff off your plate for a while. So,
sure.
Yeah. So, what about that? Let's jump to the present. Real quick, you mentioned your book, which was called Timeless Toys, right?
Yes.
Which is still in print.
It is.
I'm gonna plug your website, which I think actually have a YouTube thing called Seize the Play. Is that right?
Yes, and you told me it was hard to find because it's a new site or a new channel on YouTube. If you Google, if you in the search bar of YouTube, if you just say who invented the jigsaw puzzle, my latest video, it'll come up.
We're gonna see if that's true, Tim.
Jigsaw puzzles are in the news, scarily. They
sound of me talking with a pencil in my mouth. We're surrounded by screens here. All right, John Spilsbury invented the jigsaw puzzle. I thought that had to do with this bachelor party thing. I'm connected to the two things here. So do you come up here? I got John Spilsbury up here.
The jigsaw puzzle and Tim Walsh, I think it'll come up. But basically, I'm taking all the content from my books and the films I worked on and slowly putting them on YouTube because inventors, it's amazing to me. And we've talked about this before. You know, you sell a piece of music that sells a million copies and you get the cover of Rolling Stone. And if you write a book that sells a million copies, my goodness, that's a New York Times bestseller. But if you're Eleanor Abbott and you invented Candyland and it sold 150 million copies, which is 150 times platinum, no one knows who you are.
My
career has been giving credit to some people that have given us a lot of fun.
I think in this era, and there's so much stuff that just flows, and certainly the internet is the internet because it's unregulated and we like to, things pass back and forth. But it'd be good to credit people a little more than we do. I see stuff that great things have come up. Nobody knows who developed it. I saw a great meme that I wrote the other day without my I don't care, but I'm just saying probably other people did. We should say something about these people that originated it. You know, the page used to be blank, and somebody thought this stuff up. So
Yeah, exactly.
So what's your take on what people are playing with? The last time I was in a toy store, I have to say, I don't want to attack any line of toys, but this thing is called Monster High. Do you know Monster High? That's a terrible toy. I was terrified. I wouldn't want to play with that, would you?
Yeah, I think that was a response to the Bratz dolls, which were wildly popular and trying to take a chunk out of the Barbie sales. I'm not a big fan of any doll that is sort of sexualized that much. I feel the same way as I feel about preschool beauty pageants and sexy Halloween costumes for little girls. It all begs of the same thing to me, which is don't sexualize. Even a little bit.
I know, that's the worst thing is that, these girls are given that, that's the start of all kinds of stuff. Believe me, anorexia, how do you look like this? It's not a good thing. So, anyway, how about some positive thoughts? What do you play now? What game do you yourself play all the time?
We've been into jigsaw puzzles. That's part of the reason I did that video, that literally it's hard to find them. And of course, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and there's a history of that. Monopoly came out during the Depression, and people had a lot of time on their hands, and that helps make Monopoly popular and more close to home is Candyland. It came out in 1949. We're in the middle of a polio epidemic and social distancing and swimming pools and bowling alleys and movie theaters were closed, and every summer parents were worried, is my kid going to catch this? And, wash your hands, billboards, it all sounds very familiar to today. And a woman named Eleanor Abbott was in a polio ward, and she thought these kids need something to pass the time, and she came up with a game, and eventually went to Milton Bradley, and now I don't even know how many copies they've sold all over the world. So when people have time on their hands, often creative people fill that void. So who knows what's going to come out next in the world of toys in response to us needing to shelter together now.
29 past the hour. Listening to Tim Walsh, who is a guy that I would like to. It's like somebody come on every day when you get to print toys. You mentioned Milton Bradley a couple times. I remember Milton Bradley as the company that made Life with a picture of. I'm really dating myself. Remember when Art Linkletter was on the money? I interviewed Art right before he passed. What a cool guy. He was on the money. Anyway, I used to see Milton Bradley as the main. And you mentioned that, which brings me to ask, what's it take to get a good game out there? Right? I mean, you must have a million ideas, but it's like anything else. You can have a good movie script or a good song or something, but that's not the whole deal, right? I know Spirograph.
Yeah.
Can I make a point? This is an uncensored program. There was a lot of drug use in Spirograph. I mean, come on. And there was. So, I'm not saying it's bad or good, but it's funny when I talk to you. You're really serious about this. You're a serious fun meister. My uncle, personally.
Well, you do. You do come from the land of Bozo.
That's funny. I was really talking to somebody about Sigmund Freud yesterday. And he made the point that when your childhood is screwed up, you never follow. You never catch up. And so that notion of, if you don't let kids play, Should we bring in my psychotherapist? Tim, my father was not a player. He was just a workaholic. And it was such a problem for him because he just didn't relax. I want to ask you, by the way, if you're listening, if you call us right now, again, we're live in the morning here from 9 to 10 Chicago time, Central time, and during that period of time, you can catch us on the phone here at 773-907-0724. So if that works for you right now, you can call us up and maybe we'll get Tim to answer our question. Tim, what about screens and kids? You know, I'm sitting here right now, surrounded by, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 screens within my view here. And I look at young people, and, you know, these older folks, well, they need screens. You know, they're not going to be, you know, my 5-year-old granddaughter has a little device. But there's a difference between that and the tactical, you know, play of games.
Sure.
Yeah, what about that?
Well, I'll tell you, from problem solving, they're finding that there's a real connection between your hands and your brain. And there's a great book called Play by Dr. Scott Brown. Scott Brown, he's my partner. Dr. Stuart Brown called Play. And in that book, he talks about how Jet Propulsion Labs are looking to hire new engineers because the ones that took us to the moon were retiring. And they found that young engineers couldn't problem solve the way that older engineers could. And they did some research and interviews, and they discovered that the older engineers played with their hands. They took apart radios. They took apart their bikes. They took apart clocks. And the younger engineers were playing on screens. So now when MIT or Jet Propulsion Labs or anybody that worth their salt is looking for an engineer, part of the interview process is questions about how did you play as a kid. And if your answer is, I was on a screen the whole time, odds are you're not going to be a very good engineer or problem solver. You may be very book smart, but you won't be real world smart. And there's a real connection they're finding between play and that. And I think even for kids that, you know, aren't going to be engineers, you're never going to get away from screens. They're here to stay. So the answer is balance. You know, you got to have traditional play along with screen play. And like I said earlier, the social benefits of making eye contact. I have a buddy who's a corporate recruiter, and he deals with a lot of young people coming out of college. And again, brilliant kids that could work anywhere, but they can't interview. They have no people skills. They sit down across from him, and he starts asking them questions, and they can't finish a sentence, and they can't keep eye contact. And he has to retrain these very intelligent 21, 23, 25-year-olds to be social. And I think, obviously, playing games and interacting does wonders for kids in that regard.
You know, I'm blown away by what you just told me. None of that's surprising. But did you take apart your playthings as a kid? I remember I operated on my teddy bear and removed the. I wanted to know what the music box. Yeah, Tim, answer this. I don't know if you can hear this. I'm actually hearing activity outside my building, which is good. That means that the city is moving here. It is. I've been waiting for, you know, deadly quiet here. No pun intended here. Tim Walsh on the line here. Tim, I got your website up. I apologize to all the screens here. It's thebiggamehunter.com. Is that right? Is that you?
No, that is not me. That's a friend of mine, though.
Yeah, we can't seem to hit anything here.
Yeah, playmakers.com is my site.
Oh, that's what I thought. Well, okay.
Playmakers.
All right. Okay, the Playmakers. And you have a book that I told you to call Christmas Morning. Unfortunately, you're so stubborn. You insist on bringing out that book without my thing out. That's a fabulous book already in print, or still in print, I think, with just wonderful just pictures of stuff that you like. You should go and check that out. Tim Walsh, WALSH, is our guest this morning. Tim, let's take a real quick break here, and we'll hear from the mayor, and we'll come back and wrap it up, okay?
Awesome.
Stand by for a moment here. 21 before the hour. This is the mayor of the city of Chicago.
The data shows that social distancing works. Please pay attention. Stay home. Stay lives. celebrate with the Geminis later.
Where we are able to lose contact with people. In fact, I just lost the clue there. I pulled that up because that's a real game that I used to play all the time, pinball. I play pinball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I went to a, it's been in New York, and I can't remember where this is. This place was the largest area I've ever seen with nothing but pinball machines. My brother-in-law, Chuck, is a pinball guy, so, yeah. That brings back all these things that people, they play a lot of the video games that kind of are based on pinball, right?
Yeah, well, a lot of the arcade games, translated over. I know one famous story is Rock'em Sock'em Robots was a coin-operated arcade game in Chicago, and Marvin Glass, who was one of the most prolific toy designers, saw that and thought, oh, that'd be fun to try to do a mechanical boxing game, and
that's from Chicago. I did not know that. Wow. All right. This has just been fabulous. Please come back and talk to us more. I want to make sure.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
A lot of people should. I'll make sure people know that it's the Playmakers. Is that right? Playmakers.
Playmakers.com, yeah.
You've been my guest a dozen times. I can't even
remember. At least we go back.
I don't even have your name spelled correctly here. That's part of the moment here, not just for people that work on the radio do what we do, but, everyone's had an opportunity to say, are you okay? Just check on you. There are good things come out of bad times, referencing your point, the Monopoly came out of the Depression, and Candyland out of polio, and, nice to talk to you, Mr. Walsh.
Always, Gary Lee, I thank you for letting me come over to play.
You come over again soon. We'll make you our radio sweetheart today.